Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Aki and Bree are here, and to make up for Jacob being late again, we have Ryan Niemeller. How's everyone doing?
I'm a horrible consolation prize.
You are much better consolation prize than we usually get.
Okay, I mean, I'll take that. I'll take, not necessarily I'm a good, but I am at least the best.
You are passable, my friend.
You know what? That's gotten me through a lot of things in my life.
You are borderline tolerable.
Yeah. Oh, what? Did you read my wife's vows? She's like, you are passable. This'll do.
I will put up with your shit. I guess.
You know what? And that, isn't that really what what love is? Just someone that'll put up with you?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told this story, but at my wedding, we forgot the rings.
Okay. Oh. That seems so, like a vital part. As someone who doesn't wear rings, I know that.
The tables had plastic rings, and we took plastic rings, and when the priest asked, "Do you take this ring?" I said, "It'll do."
And
everybody laughed. That was the one moment in my life I was funny.
Hey,
it'll never happen again.
I approve.
Even the preacher chuckled at that. He's like, oh, God.
Oh, God.
Dealing with one of these people, aren't I?
I'm taking time away from the Lord for this.
Yeah, Jacob will be here in a little bit. He's got some stuff going on, phone call he's got to take care of, something like that. Probably like phone sex, I think.
He's shitting
during phone sex.
I mean, everyone's
got weird customers.
Yeah,
he has weird customers.
Oh, so he's the one providing the service.
No one would pay him for that. Yeah. Please.
Waiting for Aki to chime in on
you. That. You would be surprised what people are willing to pay for weird shit.
Yeah.
Oh no, I really wouldn't. I'd be surprised if anyone was willing to pay Jacob for anything.
I mean, that's some of the weirdest shit possible, I would think.
Yeah.
But he isn't a whore. He's a slut. He'll do it for free, and we all know it.
Yeah, but it's got to make a living. Don't ruin this for him. Just be cool, all right?
Nah.
As his agent, I get 10%, so I need you to be cool.
There we go.
I knew you two were working together.
I know.
Son of a bit.
Collusion.
Well, there's no other way that they'd be talking about Jacob's ass so often.
I know.
I mean, just
love letters, have been really. There for years now. Literal years.
Literal years. You have been coming on this show for quite a while now.
Yeah, what, 4 or 5 years?
Something like that. What number visit is this? Has anyone kept track?
More after I ran out of fingers, I stopped. So it's at least that many. At least 5.
Oh, God.
Oh,
you're
what?
Terrible, Ryan.
What? Too real for you?
Yes.
I can't count that high, so yes,
it's too real. Has this podcast gone woke? Is that what this is now?
Yes, we are all wokey woke.
Okay, cool.
Because I woke up this morning, so I was woke.
Yeah, you are awoke.
close enough. So, what's everyone playing this week?
Just the games I reviewed.
You haven't driven at all in Forza? You haven't? No?
I have not. I just based on I know usually that would be a day one for me, but based out of just general annoyance with the video game industry right now, I don't even have the Game Pass that would allow me to do such things.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a plebe. I don't even know what the lowest tier is. I think it's a serf, or I'm in the serf tier.
Game Pass basic bitch tier.
Yes, that's what they call me every time I log in. My achievement popping sound just says, bitch! Like, that doesn't seem nice.
Yeah. I, in between other reviews, have been playing a game called Chroma Zero. And I'll talk about that next week. It's very interesting. Like I said, we'll talk about it next week. But it's invading my dreams.
Is it that, like... Is it that good, or just that it sticks with you that much?
It's a head scratcher.
Mm.
They call it a Metroidvania. in that you have to like go back and think about it after you learn new things, and like rethink what you were doing before with the new information. It's really cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I've been playing Going Under. Ooh. I bought that for myself for my birthday. One of the multitude of games that probably put me over my spending limit this month, but it's been fun. I like it.
But it's your birthday. You're allowed to do that for your birthday.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And before the month is over, I'm going to spend next month's money, too, for my birthday.
There you go. It's your birthday month. That's how I buy things, too. I just tell my wife it's my birthday year.
That makes sense.
It's my birthday. It's still my birthday month. I'm just spending next month's money. This month, it's fine.
I don't believe in the concept of time, so today's my birthday.
Yeah, it's all fair. My birthday.
Yes. Merry unbirthday to you.
Exactly. I'm actually bummed. I bought myself a little present the other day on Mercari. Some guy had a bunch of racing games that I was interested in. Like 8 games for $100 for 360.
Hell yeah.
Not bad at all. He never shipped. I never got them. So I have to wait for my refund.
Did he communicate that he wasn't going to ship? No, just
zero communication.
Just gone?
Yeah, it just timed out. Because on Mercari, you have like 3 business days to ship. So that they aren't fucking people around. And he timed out. And I just... order canceled. So that sucks.
If it'll help you feel better, yeah, if it'll make you feel better, you can give me $100 and I will ship you 8 games.
Yeah, but are they games I'll want?
Nope. You're asking too many questions right now.
They're all going to be the same copy of the same game, and that game's going to be worth like 25 cents.
It seems like
a pair of 3D.
Yeah,
exactly what I was thinking. The solitaire game that we had took forever to get rid of.
It seems like the problem here is not about the games themselves. It's that something wasn't shipped to you. I am trying to be a good friend by shipping something to you.
Exactly. That is fair. I don't have $100 though. They didn't give me my refund yet. I'll totally hit you up in a few days about this though.
Okay, good. Thank you. I have promise. The games ready to go.
Swear to go.
This is just changing subjects right here. Joe, do you have a SingStar PlayStation 2 mic?
I do not.
Oh. You'll probably want to get one of those.
I hear those are actually really, really good for interviews. Audio input jack for the two microphones? So. Yeah, plug that into a recorder, and it has 2 microphones, so built-in interview right there.
Trying to up the production value of this podcast for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I think my mic's pretty good.
You do sound good.
It's
a little bit of a little ASMR. It gives me the tingles.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Hi, Aki.
That's icky. No.
Icky. That is quite icky.
I jumped on the scale today, 285. So
attaboy.
Still doing good. And then we went to the store and I wore my drink weed shirt as I bought weed syrup. They so laughed at my shirt, and I said, "Now I can."
Yeah.
Because Dave Payne just used to joke about drink weed for the longest time. He's like, do you like to drink weed? Now I can. I really can.
Yeah.
Glorious. This is the future we live in. And knocked someone else in the household off their ass earlier.
In the asshole?
I don't want to say who, but...
You could also, like, you know, get the cat's eye. They have catnip wine. That's like a whole thing.
Oh, hell yeah. We'll get fucked up. We'll open up the... Because we just have a big Tupperware tub full of catnip. We'll just open it and Predator will jump in.
Oh, yeah.
She's fucking coated head to toe. And the other cats are tackling her. Love it. Love it, love it.
I got a cat.
Did
That's
you?
That's what I did this last couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah?
Tell us about it.
No, I love it and hate it at the same time. I think is just being a cat owner. I've only owned a cat once, but it was like, I count it, but I don't count it because I wasn't really in a position to be taking care of it. And I had to give it up to a friend pretty quickly. But a cat sort of fell into our lap. And I originally thought that we were just going to be holding on to it for a couple of days to see if we liked it. But then my brother-in-law was like, well, if you don't like it, you got to figure out something to do with it. And so I went, okay. So I like it. I'm on a lot of Claritin because I am allergic to it.
Oh, man.
The Claritin works, and it's not a big deal to do that because we do like the cat. I'm going to kill the cat, not out of anger, but because it's too stupid to know that I am 300 pounds and it likes to get under my feet. So one day this cat will die. But not out of malice, of loving too much.
Yes, Simon will have the same fate. I kicked him in the face earlier today, and then he moved directly into my other foot. He was a moron today.
Yeah, it's kind of what they do. I was trying to, I cooked pasta for the family for dinner, and as I was trying to drain it, the cat almost tripped me while I was carrying scalding hot water.
Oh, beautiful.
So that would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would. Fun for everyone there.
Exactly. I would have ended up with a disability.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Could have been bad.
Ugh. Could you imagine?
The paperwork you'd have to fill out?
Oh, man. So much.
Man.
So much.
Speaking of disabilities... I went to the Social Security office today. This is my totally not exciting story at all. But because I don't know how you can make the Social Security office like entertaining. But I actually officially changed my name today. So
nice.
Very good.
Pretty exciting.
Congrats.
Pretty exciting.
What is it again? Rhinoceros?
Yes. No, it's Reiner.
Yes. Reiner. I write it every twice a week sometimes. It.
I actually I Googled myself the other day under Mrs. my
Injury,
old name,
yes.
And it brings up that I'm a co-host on the SML podcast with the AI thing.
Oh, nice!
The AI overview, yeah. So we'll see how long it takes for it to like proc to the new name, but yeah.
I wonder what happens if you search Joe Camisa, because I know there's a like my uncle ran a print shop in a nearby town for. long time and then there's a guy in Florida with the same name who runs like a barcade.
There's apparently like a Brianna who is like a doctoral candidate or something, so apparently I'm like involved in neurosurgery or something. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah,
how's that going?
AI overview,
how's that neurosurgery treating you?
Yeah, it's great. It's rewarding and lucrative. Lucrative.
I feel I can't be a part of this conversation.
Why, are you a real neurosurgeon?
No, it feels weird. This is, but my mom thinks I'm super famous because I autofill on Google because of AGT. So hey, now
that's dope.
Yeah, it is. I just can't find any other weird Ryan Niemöllers floating around. because it just finds me.
You are unique.
I am.
You fucking hate you so much. You bitch.
So, should we get to the news? We've got some
let's get to the news.
I think the big news, Game Pass, is new additions, and one of them is kind of popular. Something called Forza Horizon 6 is taking the world by storm. It has already hit 6 million players.
Nice.
Across PC and Xbox. And it's fun.
Nice. I look forward to driving around in it sometime soon.
I sat down at 7 o'clock. I'm like, going to do a race or two. And then it was 8:30 and I'm like, shit.
Did you do a race or two?
Oh, I did a whole lot more than that. Huh. I just...
You did three?
Three races, yes. And I lost them all. Oh, no, man. I play on easy. I kick the computer's ass.
That's the way to do it.
I don't want
to
struggle in a racing game. Fuck that. I don't want to... Oh, no. It's coming down to the last second. Am I going to win? I don't want that. I don't want that.
My
because
heart
when I lose, then I got to redo the fucking race.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want to win by 20 seconds. And I'm happy. May 20th, my friend Peppa Pig and Remnant 2 came back to Game Pass.
Nice.
May 21st, brand new game, Luna Abyss.
Nice.
I haven't heard about that one.
Just came out.
All right.
On Game Pass.
I'll look it up. All right.
Next week, May 26th, Escape Simulator.
I'm excited for that one.
May 27th, The Outer Worlds Spacer's Choice Edition and Echo Generation 2.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Echo Generation.
Yeah, me too.
Oraclite, happy unique celestial rotation day. Yay! Congrats. Aki, you're not typing them. What's wrong?
I forgot that I was supposed to type them. I just the anger overtook me, and I just wasn't typing.
I mean, you don't have to. That's just the job you've consumed.
Like I tire of your nonsense.
Pretty much. May 28th, Crash Out Crew and Kabuto Park. No clue what those are, but I'll try them.
Yeah.
And then June 2nd, Jurassic World Evolution 3 and Final Fantasy 6. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I own it. I'm still excited it's coming to Game Pass.
Hell yeah. More people will play it.
Yes.
Someone was like, tell me why Final Fantasy 15 is the best Final Fantasy. I'm like, because 1 plus 5 is 6 and Final Fantasy 6 is the best real.
Yes.
Real best Final Fantasy.
Yes. I actually saw a copy in the wild the other day. At that toy shop I was at that I sent you pictures of, and they were asking $90 for it out of box, no manual.
Damn.
And I was tempted, but no.
What would you do with it?
I would probably hug it a little bit, maybe cry
Would you sleep with it like a stuffy?
I might. I have very fond memories of playing that game.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Game Pass. There we go. Game Pass. Games are leaving, though. A couple of games got to leave. Against the Storm, Crypt Custodian, Metaphor, ReFantazio, Persona 4 Golden, and Spray Paint Simulator. So RPG fans are losing some big stuff.
I'm never going to finish ReFantazio in time. Damn it.
No, that's like a couple hundred hour game, I'm sure.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's like a 300 to 500 hour game, and I've put like maybe 30 hours into it, maybe.
Nice. Oh,
man.
So you heard his voice. Jacob's here. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
Yeah, we're talking.
Yeah, you're talking about stuff.
Yeah, we talked about your ass earlier.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And? It's because I'm here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, when else do we discuss things that could fit up my butt? things that could fit up Ryan's butt. Actually, we do talk about that.
We were talking about the fact that you perform phone sex for others because you have customers while you're shitting. We figured out that's what you were doing before the show.
Oh, well, I mean, kind of. I mean, like, sometimes people get excited about the idea of, a blimpy. But,
you have crazy phone calls during the day, don't you?
Reset your power.
Have you tried turning it off and then back on again?
Is it plugged in?
I see it pinging on my end.
Oh my.
I hate you both.
No, don't stop.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Just turn off that server and then unplug and shove that power cord right back in there.
Beautiful.
And then turn it on.
So, Sony had a great week. Yeah, PlayStation Plus is going up in price from 10 to 11 for 25 to 28 for 3 months for new subs. Existing subs won't be changed yet unless they lapse or change their plan. Sony also confirmed they will no longer release single-player games on PC. Meanwhile, yeah. Xbox will dump literally everything on PlayStation.
Yeah, well, Sony wants to fight that battle that literally no one else is fighting, but by God, they're going to win that war somehow.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
Like, even PlayStation players are like, why? Like, why?
Because they don't want it being able to be played on the next Xbox that's going to be...
No, they're in agreement. They're like, why do they have to do this? Like, why? What is... Just fucking... Stop exclusivity. Share everything to everyone.
That'd be great. That's what I've been wanting for forever. Kids on the
playground that just won't share their toys.
Yeah. Then again, in other Xbox news, they've opened a user voice site where users can leave their suggestions on how to improve the platform. Top two suggestions: bring back exclusives and restart backward compatibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish people would get over the fucking exclusive concept.
Well, I mean, I can understand the want for exclusives to return. I would like to see them abolished on both sides or on all sides forever. It'd be nice, but at this point, Xbox has got to do something to make the platform attractive. And they don't really have any games that you're like, I need to have an Xbox specifically for that.
Yeah, there are some exclusives that make sense on other platforms based on the hardware. Obviously, VR is a thing. We don't have hardware for that on Xbox. Motion control is a thing. We don't have that on Xbox. Stuff like that.
I would prefer if Xbox just kept not doing the exclusive bullshit, because the longer that PlayStation is the only one doing it, the more PlayStation just looks like a piece of shit asshole. And, eventually that's going to start hurting their piggy bank, and then they're going to hopefully fucking quit doing it. And then the world will be a better place because people will be able to play games on more shit, and we can all just enjoy fucking goddamn video games again. It'll be great.
I mean, it's always been exclusives, so it's not enjoying things again.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. The concept is...
I hate exclusives. I wish everything was everywhere. I'm fully in agreement on that. But yeah, if Sony is like, going to do this... Stupid. If Sony's going to do this, I think Xbox has to do something to counter. I think the first thing they should do with Asha taking over is cancel Fable on PlayStation. There is zero reason for Fable to be on PlayStation. Zero. It's not a live service game. Why is it over there?
Make more money.
Yes, to make money. Why can't we get like a month exclusive on it? There's zero reason aside from greed for Fable to be on PlayStation day one.
I am perfectly fine with timed exclusives as long as it's not like a year for a multiplayer stuff, because that's kind of kills it. But otherwise, you know, a timed exclusive for a month, 6 months, a year even, okay, fine. As long as it gets to the other thing eventually, I'm good. I just don't like the permanent, like, this is only ever going to be here type of exclusive. I think that is 100% bullshit. Timed ones, whilst they're not great, I get why they exist.
Speaking of exclusives, CI Games has signed a termination agreement with Epic, meaning Lords of the Fallen 2 will no longer be Epic exclusive.
Hmm. Yay!
Yeah. Red Dead 2, now at 85 million sales lifetime, which puts it number 3 all-time behind Grand Theft Auto 5 with 230, and Minecraft is sitting at number 1 with 350 million sales.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I'm catching up. Subnautica 2, 4 million copies in 5 days.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
But yeah, I guess they're going to pay a bonus after all.
Yep. Apparently someone actually went and looked into the contract that was made, and it wasn't even like they had to make so many sales as of just Subnautica 2 to get that bonus. It was their value had to be a certain amount just to get it. And they did not have to sell anywhere near as much as everyone thought in order to hit that number. And that's hilarious.
Well, now they sold like gangbusters. So,
yep.
Last bit of news I have. June 9th marks the final Destiny 2 live service content update from Bungie as they move on as a company. Lots of fear this is going to lead to tons of layoffs.
Yeah, I had that in my news set as well. Like, they were supposed to get a major expansion soon this summer, but nope. So we're getting a moment of triumph in June, and then it'll stay online and playable for some amount of time that we don't know because they could change their mind, but it'll no longer be in
active development. For the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I mean, Destiny 1 is still playable, so.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I know one of the Destinies started putting like their DLC to where you couldn't play the DLC. Yeah.
Destiny
2.
That was Destiny 2. Yeah, they Destiny would 2. Vault content.
Yep.
So are they going to start, like, once they're done with it, are they going to set something up to where it's like, oh, for the next couple of months, this piece of DLC will be active? Or are they just going to vault everything but the last thing and be like, well, y'all can go get fucked?
I'm guessing it'll be just the last bit of content is what's there.
Oh, that sucks ass.
Because vaulted because of story reasons, like the ongoing live story that they had?
I thought it was because of storage reasons, because it was getting too big.
I'm sure that's part of it, because the game, because of adding so much story, they just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII could be 170 gig. Give Destiny 10 more.
Weirdly, this makes me want to go back to Destiny and or Destiny 2 specifically and like try and get those last couple achievements. But
yeah, if you only have a couple left, you might as well. Fuck.
Yeah.
Get it just in case. You never know.
Yeah. It involves doing raids, and I am terrible at raids. Yeah. And I haven't played in years. So
I have a friend who plays that. Maybe he'd help you out.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Don't play with pugs.
I'm on a Discord server where I can like get help. But the last time I tried to do an OG Destiny raid with a group of people, like I won't name names, but like one of the people that volunteered to help totally rage quit in the middle of it and like made me look like an idiot for inviting him. Wow. So that was
someone
fun.
We know.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Someone in the chat? Call?
No, not someone in the chat right now.
Would you want
somebody
to use
on the podcast pick? Right now?
No, not somebody on the podcast.
Okay, Ryan, was it you?
I was assuming it was Jacob.
Yeah, no, I was like legit afraid it was actually me, because I was just like, I tried to like to play Destiny 2 like years ago, and like I was just like, oh my god, what if I had done that and I just don't remember it?
No, it's all good.
You blacked out.
I mean, or just got baked enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aw, Jacob, resubscribing. Look at you. You got to refresh it for the sound to play. So, yeah, that's my news. Aki, what do you have?
I got fuck all this time.
Proud of you. Bree, what do you got?
The only other thing left on my list that you didn't already cover is LEGO 2K Drive has already been delisted. Servers are going to go down next year, though. So if you're already hearing this, unfortunately, you missed out on buying it if you don't own it. If you do own it, you still have until May 31st of 2027 before the servers
shut down. I mean, you can still get a physical copy.
Yeah, disc.
Well, you can still get a physical copy, but you can't get a digital copy, yes. Right. But yeah, yeah. So,
well, I mean, there you go. Yeah, never mind.
And there is one online achievement for like doing a certain number of races. You don't even have to win them. I think you just have to play like 20 online races. So if you care about completions, that's something to get out of the way. Get it off your backlog. Yeah,
probably do that.
Yep.
I like that game. I thought it was fun.
I have not played it yet, but it is on my backlog.
Forza Lego, but
yeah, I know, right?
My kids like it.
That's all the news I have.
Ryan, you got any news?
I have no news.
You have no news whatsoever?
What about
that's good news
about you? You got any shows coming up?
I got all kinds of shows coming up.
Oh, fucking tell us about them. We're asking you for news.
Yeah, cripplethreat.com has my calendar. I'm in Hermosa Beach, California on Saturday, the 28th and 29th. Yay! I'm in Gig Harbor, Washington, right out of Seattle. June 4th, 6th, and 7th, I'm in Missouri. What else
I'm
do
so
I got?
Sorry.
I'm in Temecula, California, the 18th or the 20th of June. Lawrence, Kansas, end of July, early August. Doing Myrtle Beach, doing Albuquerque, Vermont, Batavia, Illinois, all the big cities.
You got to hit Wilkes-Barre, PA?
I do.
You do.
So I can watch a WWF house show in the 80s.
Yes. What, the Kingston Armory?
Oh, yeah. So it's on the website. I'm adding more dates. I'm touring with a fellow AGT alum, Samuel J. Comroe. We're doing like a duo show, and they've been really fun.
I've been seeing some of your clips on Facebook, and they are a riot.
It's. I think we got something here.
I think you are a very entertaining person.
Who me? This old thing?
You.
You sound like you're letting him down. Like, you know, you don't want to fuck him, but you know, you'll let him.
I
want to
fuck
drinks.
Him. Like,
really bad. There's no chance that he doesn't want to fuck me. That's not. He's incapable of
with
not
the curly hair. You have to have the longer curlier hair.
That is true. I was a much more handsome boy.
Yeah.
When my luscious locks were a flowing.
Well,
hair bullshit.
I mean, my hair's, you know, my hair is long and curly. Are you going to fuck me?
No.
Damn it.
I'll fuck you, Jacob. We can do a human centipede thing here.
You got to cut your goddamn hair, you hippie.
No way. I've got really nice curls. And no.
Like, I only know you as having short hair, so when you visit and you have long hair, I'm like, who the fuck are you? Who do you think you are?
Who the hell do you think you are?
How dare you? Jacob, what news do you have?
I'm getting a haircut.
No, I'm not getting a haircut. gosh, I don't know what's already been discussed.
You've been here.
No, yeah, but I missed like the first like 17 minutes, so
we didn't talk news in the first 17 minutes.
Oh, well, I don't know. Let's see, I got something. Where the fuck is it?
It's movie watch. Hey, there. Boom.
All right. So the producers of the Sonic movies are going to be bringing Broken Sword to the big screen.
Interesting.
Okay.
We got two Resident Evil posters for the movie that's coming out in September.
Nice.
Which, I mean, they look sufficiently scary and good, so hooray. And Interestingly enough, the Crazy Taxi Facebook account has just kind of come alive for the first time since 2019, and it's just a blinking taxi light.
Interesting.
So, who knows what that means?
Maybe they're looking for a ride.
Only if they have the offspring.
Oh, man, if they don't have friggin' All I Want in that game, there's no point. Like, when they re-released it with a different soundtrack, I had no interest in playing the game.
I mean, I still like playing it.
It's fun, but the soundtrack makes that game. It's just not the same without it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. What stupid sound effects do I have now?
This fucking guy, fuck you!
I like that one. And then from when Dave was on last time.
Don't fake the funk on a nasty dunk.
Also, if you guys have a Nintendo Switch, No Gravity Games is doing their... They're giving away free Switch games. It's now on the third day, and I fucking forgot. But thankfully, I already have the second. Oh, nice. I already had the first two games.
Yep.
Yay me.
Dumbass.
So I get it for free. Yay.
Yay. All right. I guess that's all for new. Anything else anyone want to talk about, or are we diving into review time?
Because I'm about to eat that ass.
Let's do this.
Very good, Aki. Very good.
There's new ones. Abraham Lincoln.
I like that one. So, reviews? Wait, ass?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Jacob?
Yeah, I guess.
Is your first.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, do you not read the lineups I post?
No, I do.
You have lineups? Do you see the price of the games too?
I mean, I didn't know if you were gonna have Ryan go first, because you know that way, like, he could go off and do his super important stuff.
Oh no, we're not leading with solitaire. We can't do that.
We're ending with solitaire.
I mean, if you want to stick around the whole show, I'll put solitaire later.
No, I'm just letting everyone know that solitaire is a headlining game.
Do you want to start, Ryan?
I will start. It seems like Jacob doesn't want to start, and I'm not a candy ass like he is, so I will go if he doesn't want to.
Let's do this.
Wow.
First game, Perfect Klondike Solitaire, developed by Circuit Software, published by Ocean Media, released May 6th on Xbox One and Series for $6.99. Prepare to test your strategic solitaire abilities, embark on daily quests, and return for fresh challenges every day. Tailor your gaming experience with customizable themes and backgrounds. Perfect Klondike Solitaire guarantees endless hours of entertainment, making it ideal for quick breaks and extended gameplay sessions. Ryan, how much time did you pour into this one?
I don't know, 10 hours? Maybe a little less than that. And I'm almost done.
Very good.
So, so a lot of these solitaire games I enjoy. That's why I get to do the solitaire games. However... a lot of them are time vampires that, to be able to actually finish, take hundreds of hours. This one does not, and I'm pleasantly surprised. Like, I had sent you a message this week, Joe, about how the second game we talked to is very much like all the other games Ocean Media has released in the genre. This one is actually different. And that made it I don't know if I was just so beaten down by all the other ones, but it made this one legitimately fun. So it's the adventure mode is only 60 levels. Normally, most of these games are 200. So it's like a lot more compact, where you don't just feel like it's like you're Sisyphus pushing the boulder up the mountain to try to finish this thing. And then it has, I think it was 6 or 7 different styles of Klondike Solitaire. Klondike Solitaire is, if you ever had a computer with Windows 95 on, that is what's on there. That is the version of Klondike Solitaire. It's got leaderboards. I think they're just local leaderboards, but still, that's something. Daily challenges, which I feel was Ocean Media just really going for it from what they normally do. The achievements are very, very doable, very accessible. Like I said, it's fun to play solitaire regardless, but I don't need to put 200 more hours into this to get it done. I will have it done after midnight tonight when I can get one more challenge.
Nice.
And I enjoy it. It's like I said, it's nothing wild. You know, they didn't do anything crazy with this, but compared, it's like Ocean Media was getting a little cash grabby to me with how all the games were basically just reskins. It was nice to see one that like, oh, this is a different template. There's more going on to this.
Very good.
I wish I could say more, but it's solitaire. It's solitaire.
Does it involve cards?
There's a lot of cards.
What kind of twist does it have?
I say the twist at the end will blow your mind. That's all I'm saying. You'll never see it coming. Yeah, it was totally the butler. It doesn't have a whole lot of, I will say, for anyone that cares about this, there's only 4 different card types and 4 different card backs you can choose from. That's it. The music's dope. Ocean Media, I think it's probably just music that's available through some service, but it's very calm, chill music, which is nice when I'm playing as my cat is attacking me.
Very nice. Well, $7 on this one. What do you think?
I think it's worth 7. Absolutely. It's a buy it for me. If you like solitaire, again, that is, with all these type of games, I think that is the, an unspoken, but needs to be said, prerequisite. If you don't like solitaire, you're wasting $7. But if you like solitaire, this is a good one.
Very good. If you are on the fence, Ocean Media was nice enough to hook us up with an extra copy of the game, and we are doing a giveaway for that right now. I just started it. Type enter if you are in our Twitch chat, and you could enter for a shot to win a copy of Perfect Klondike Solitaire.
First.
And then later on in the show, we'll have a giveaway for our second game here. Jewel Match Solitaire L'Amour, developed by Circuit Software, published by Ocean Media, released May 6th, Xbox One Series $6.99. Love is in the air, and so is solitaire. Enter the enchanting world of Jewel Match as you fall head over heels for this charming new solitaire adventure. Discover and rebuild 5 gorgeous scenes as you follow each passionate couple across the land. Ryan, what's going on here?
This is the one that's a little bit, and by a little bit, I mean identical to their past ones. It's the same type of challenge. So it's the, has 400 total levels. It does the fake credits after you finish 200 where you think you're done, but here's more. You don't need to do that to get all the achievements if that's the type of thing you care about. But, it's the type of solitaire where you're going up and down. I always forget what the name of it is, but where you go up and down based on the number. So if you know if you draw an 8 out of we don't have pennies, so we have to learn to round again. So like if you have an 8 in your draw pile, you can either click a 9 or a 7 and then kind of go back and forth and like that to clear the board. There's various obstacles to that. There will be thorns. There's like ribbons that are wrapped around some of them. Some of them are covered in ice. So if they're in ice, you have to click it twice. You have to do the card twice. There's cards that have scissors that will cut the ribbons. There's one that's a scythe that'll get rid of all the thorns. So it's got little obstacles like that to kind of spice it up a little bit. Music's great. It's the same, literally the same music from the other game. They're just using the same thing, and that's totally fine. It's very chill.
Hey, if it works, it works.
Yeah, it's like 1990s hold music. And I don't say that as an insult. It's very chill.
Dude, give me Weather Channel music and I'm fucking there.
It's similar to that. My son didn't like that I was playing it because it's not Valentine's Day. And that made him very upset for whatever reason. He's like, no, that's not the time. He's like, it's my birthday. Because his birthday was also this month. But yeah, it's mileage varies based on how much you enjoy solitaire, but these are cool. I will, I poke fun at it a little bit for being just a reskin, but I will play these reskins as long as they keep releasing them. It's chill and fun and takes a little bit of time.
This one's
it's definitely longer than the other one is achievement wise, or if you're just like a completionist and really want to do, you can finish all the achievements, I think, in like 160 some of the levels, but it does have more available that you can play. So if you care about that,
which you cared about,
I will probably care about that. Yeah, I did, because I had to get
this to the ground.
Yeah, I did have to finish the other game, so I did stop when I completed the achievements, but I will probably go back and finish them because I am a degenerate.
And I say this in the kindest way, a whore for solitaire.
It's very true. It started as a bit when Carnage gave me that 1,000-hour one, yeah. But legitimately, I love a good solitaire game. I got to be high on the true achievements leaderboards for solitaire. Solitaire, specifically.
Ryan absolutely loves solitaire. One time I saw him play Klondike off of a hooker's chest.
Oh, it's true. It was my hour. I'll do what I want.
Yeah, I mean, after all, you had 55 minutes left. What else are you going to do?
Exactly.
Aces on the titties.
Yeah, that already included the crying, too.
Jeez.
Oh, that was too far. Okay, so everything that Jacob just said, totally above board. Absolutely. I mentioned that I cry, Max, and now you're going to get upset with me. All right.
Nah, I'll let it slide.
I mean, nobody wants to see you get dehydrated like that, Ryan. You know, we're just looking out for you.
I appreciate that. That's why I keep coming back to this podcast. You're all very sweet.
This is the l'amour of the solitaire, is us talk. Never mind. $7, jewel match solitaire. What do you think?
Again, you have to like solitaire, but I like solitaire, so I would have spent $7 on this.
Between the two, give us your thoughts. What do you think? Which is the better one? Which has more longevity? Give us your thoughts.
The better one, especially with longevity in mind, is Klondike. Because, you know, it has a quick play. So if you just want to play games of solitaire, it's a little easier to do that. The other one does have some like bonus games that you can do, but it's a little clunky. I don't feel the urge to go back and play that one as much as I do the Klondike one. Like, I'm excited to finish the achievements, if that tells you anything. And then the other one, I enjoyed it, but I'm not itching to boot it back up again right now.
Yeah. You'll wait for the next version.
Exactly. Beat that one. I'm sure there'll be a... we'll get to October, and I'm sure they'll have the St. Patrick's Day version will come out then. They'll just always be a little behind on that, and that'll... Or they'll be early.
Flag Day?
Exactly. Oh, I think I'm surprised they haven't done a Flag Day one yet.
Flag Day Solitaire.
Maybe there's going to be Arbor Day Solitaire.
Ooh. Is there like a Halloween spooky one? Because I'd be down for that.
There might be one.
I want to say there already was one. Yeah, I'd have to double check. I say this as someone who enjoyed them. I've played so many of them. They kind of blend into my brain a little bit.
Sure. There are a shocking number of solitaire games available on Xbox. I'll say that. So it's hard to stick out and get Ryan's attention. So when he suggests getting one,
you better get it.
You should listen. He knows what he's talking about. So
a man of class.
Indeed. Ryan, that is it for you. We will let you get going. I want to thank you, as always, for coming on, spending an hour with us and getting stupid with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate y'all. Cripple Threat 8 on all my social media if anyone wants to follow me. And cripplethreat.com has the calendar of dates. We're adding a bunch more all the time. So it's been a fun little tour, and they're great shows.
Yeah, I was going to say to tell people where they could keep up to date with you and what you're doing, but now I'm not going to ask you because you just went on that little tangent.
I've done this show enough where I know the deal. I know what's happening.
You know.
Yeah, I know what we're doing here.
So what's next?
I leave.
No, there's something before that.
Oh, Jacob, spread them.
I mean, how much more?
More. I'm going to use both feet this time.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that again, that's too far.
That's when it gets good.
No, because I know you. You haven't clipped your toenails in a while, and you never use condoms. So, oh boy, I get athlete's foot up my beehole again.
Yeah, again. Well, I'm going to go.
Let's talk about Bluey.
I'm going to spend a little quality time with my three-year-old son now.
other people get Astroglide. I get tough acting tenactin.
Boom.
Oh. Bye, friends.
Take care, Ryan. See you, dude. Do we move Bluey?
Yes, we move Bluey. We have to.
Okay, yeah. Next up, we have a two-pack to talk about. Myst and Riven. Riven just debuted on Xbox and PS5. Myst finally launched on PS5 after being on Xbox for a couple of years now. To get to Riven, we got to talk about Myst first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so let's...
It's kind of like the beginning story of it all.
Yeah, so let's start with Myst, developed and published by Cyan Worlds, released August 2021 on Xbox and May 19th, PS5 for $34.99. Myst invites players to a starkly beautiful island, eerily tinged with mystery and shrouded in intrigue. Players journey to Myst Island and other stunning long-dormant locations called Ages and begin to unravel the mystery they have been thrust into. As players learn what happened on the island, they're playing a key role in an epic story whose ending has not yet been written. Jacob, you played this. Bree, I know you played this as well. Jacob, start us off. What's going on in Myst?
Oh, people have been trying to figure that the fuck out since 1993.
Fair.
This is the classic puzzle adventure game that, you know, pretty much everyone just assumes that you're lying if you said that you solved this without a guide. So Myst, it's a really weird game to begin with. Like, I don't know if you all remember... Like, I mean, did you all play Myst back in the day?
I did.
All right.
Bree, I played a little bit, but I didn't have a PC capable of playing it, so I could only play it in, like, the computer lab at school, and that wasn't much.
Okay. Gotcha. So it used to be, like, more of a point-and-click thing where you would decide which direction you're going to go in. The puzzles were still hard as hell. But, you know, like, I just remember, like, how everything looked. It was just so beautiful, and it looked lifelike, you know, especially for 1993, because, you know, us rich bitch kids, you know, with our CD-ROMs, able to play this on Mac or Windows way back in the day. And so you pretty much, like, you fall through this hole, and you wake up on this island next to this sunken ship, and you're just like, what the heck is going on? There's all these, like, little pedestals with switches and, like, stuff for you to click on, and then you go into this one library, and you discover these two books where these two different guys are, it appears that they're trapped in there, and you have to bring them the pages of their certain books. You know, like, that's what they're asking you to do, but it turns out... Well, I mean, spoilers, but, you know, the game came out back in 93, so it's a little late for you to complain about it. But they're not as they seem, and they are working against you.
Gasp.
Gasp. And so you have to, like, go through all of these different areas and find the clues that'll help you solve puzzles, but at the same time, you get to read a ton of lore in this.
Yeah.
And that was part of, like, the awesome thing about Myst back in the day, is that, like, there really wasn't, like, a whole lot of video game, like, literature or, like, stuff that was, like, this lore heavy. And Myst went beyond that. I mean, like, there were books.
There's three novels.
Yeah, I have all three.
I used to on in paperback. They just re-released them recent, like last year, in digital book formats. So, I'm going to go get those. I just put it on my wish list.
Yeah,
I'm going to reread them.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Like I don't even remember like what the heck happened in those. But yeah, like there was even supposed to be like a Sci-Fi Channel miniseries that never happened. Yeah, so in Myst, you're walking around this island and you have to solve, or actually various like islands or locations. And you have to essentially just figure out what you need to do to get to the next spot. And some of the puzzles don't really seem to have anything to do with what you're doing. But then of course, like if you circle back, you're going to find out like, oh crap, like this was actually necessary. And a lot of the stuff is confusing until all of the pieces start coming together. And it's just like, it was mind blowing back in the day. And now like I got to see like the new version of Myst because, this is going to be like going way back, but like there was a version of Myst called Real Myst, and it was supposed to kind of act like this, like how this one does. And like, oh, you could just walk around to do all that kind of crap. And actually Real Myst is what made me be like, all right, you know, fuck PC. I'm going with video game consoles, because I had bought that day of, my computer theoretically should have been able to run it. And my computer's like, get bent. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this game? Like I just want to play Real Myst. And it's like, no, not happening. So that's why I went with consoles. But anyway, so yeah, the puzzles are hard as hell. Like, and it's not like, this is not going to be a game that you're able to just, you know, you can't just breeze through it. You know, you're going to have to take your time. You're going to have to do a lot of searching, like a lot of like tooling around with stuff and seeing like, all right, well, if I, you know, if I flick this switch, what does this do? Okay, well, it turned on so many lights, but if I flick this switch, then all the whole system goes down and then I have to like reboot it somewhere else. There's stuff like that. What I thought was really cool is that in this version, for those of us who have been around for like since 93, it can now randomize the puzzles. Yes. So they're no longer the original solutions. And now you really have to figure the crap out in this game. Mm-hmm. which I was just like, no, that's okay. I'm just going to follow this guide. Thank you very much. But yeah, like it is glorious just like walking around and looking through everything. Like it's beautiful. Like, and I'm glad that this game got new life on modern consoles, because like it's just a game that you like, it's like the original Mario Brothers game. Like it's a game that like should, like that and like Zelda, Myst is up there with it. And it's just like, I'm glad that it's like, this is keeping it alive. But yeah, anything you wanted to add, Bree?
I mean, Myst is hard. I think I completed it a few years ago, on Xbox. And then I went back to the classic 1993 version the other day and I was so lost. You'd think I would have remembered something, but nope. There's like a 2-minute speedrun ending achievement and you, what? Yeah, in Myst for Xbox, at least, I don't know if the trophy is the same on PlayStation, but there's a 2-minute like ending that you have to speedrun for one achievement.
And oh my god.
Yeah, you can get the best ending in the game almost immediately
that,
after
starting. That part I kind of remember, and I remember it being really rough. The clues are there in Myst, but you have to, like, old school write everything down. Graphically, I thought it was a fantastic upgrade. Like Jacob said earlier, the original game was like a CD-ROM game and you didn't have 3D movement like you do in this one. It was more like a point and click where you pressed in the direction of the scene you wanted to get to next, and the CD would sort of like spin up and shuffle you over there in a really slow pace, and you could hear it as it was, you know, spinning up. But this remaster is way more with modern movement expectations and it's fabulous. The music was fantastically remastered. So I think this is a great thing. I'm glad that PlayStation has access to this now too. PlayStation 5 and the VR, I believe, as well. So, yeah.
Yes.
One thing I thought was interesting about this new version too is that like you could also go back and if you want to, you could view the original videos from the original version of the game, or you could use these new like CGI or like, you know, obviously done inside the video game versions of the videos. And I'm not gonna lie, the newer versions seemed creepier now that I actually understood what the crap they were going, like what they're actually like saying and going on about. And it's just like, they looked compared to the original actors. It was just no.
Yeah.
But all right, well,
this is really cool. Like I'm glad it's here.
It is $35 brand new on PlayStation VR. What do you think of Myst?
I'd say, yeah. I mean, it just keep in mind, like it's as tough as it was back in 93. Yeah. So you may want to have like a guide handy. But it's still very much worth having in your video game collection. I highly recommend it.
I would completely agree with that.
All right. And that leads us to Riven, developed and published by Cyan Worlds, released May 19th on both Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $34.99. Uncover a story of intrigue, betrayal, and a civilization teetering on the brink of collapse as you solve intricate puzzles to unlock the secrets of Riven, built from the ground up and expanded from the award-winning original game released in 97. Jacob, Bree, Bree, you start this time. What's going on in Riven?
So, I'm totally not prepared for this, but I'll do my best.
All right, Jacob,
you want to start? I was going to say, I just played it the other day, but go ahead, Jacob, if you're ready.
I threw a curveball at Bree. She wasn't scheduled for that, so that was my fault.
Sorry, I was having a coughing fit. So
oh, okay.
Cough on myself. The air.
No, thank you. I'd rather not.
I have to. Anyway, Riven. Tell us about Riven.
So Riven is the first sequel to Myst, and to be honest, it plays very similar to it. It is a lot of very difficult puzzles that you're trying to do. This time, you're out to help, well, spoilers, but you're out to help the dad because it turns out that the two sons were little shits. And neither of them actually had anyone's interests at heart. They really were just in it for themselves. And so you're trying to help the dad escape. It also turns out that his wife is somehow wrapped up in all of this. And you have to figure out what the crap is going on. And, you know, just solve the puzzles and save the day. It plays very similar to the first one, but it's definitely a more texture and architecturally more impressive game than the first one. I mean, like, and that's not the like, that's not the like, it's nothing to sneeze at for the 93 game, because again, 93 versus 97, even then there were still huge jumps in like what they were able to do with video games and stuff like that back then. And today, like, this just looks like, I mean, it's as glorious as the new version of the first Myst game. I will say this, Riven's puzzles are a little harder than the first one. So if you thought Myst was hard,
weirdly, I thought that Riven was more accessible.
Huh.
Fight.
Bree's correct.
I mean both of them were like, you know, do stuff at your own pace, but I thought that the puzzles were a bit more I thought there was a bit more to them than the first game. But I mean, I also haven't spent as much time banging my head against the wall over Riven as I have Myst in my life, so...
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I just feel like I got into Riven the other night on stream after looking at Myst and looking like, you know, I don't even want to say that because that's probably inappropriate. Anyway, I felt like an idiot and I was like, come on, I've actually completed this game. Like, why can't I figure this out? And it was because I was missing a note at the very beginning that gives you the first step of the clues. And I was like, oh, right, duh, after the fact. But I got to Riven, and I was like, okay, as soon as I found, like, the trick to the door, I was like, all right, now we're cooking. And so, like, it was just a matter of time, and I had to actually, like, pull out a, you know, pen and paper and start taking some notes and doing some drawings and things like that. And I don't know, I felt like I got the ball rolling a lot faster getting through the different ages or whatever you want to call the area. Or I guess they were
they're called ages.
They were just islands in Riven because it was like I don't know. But yeah, normally they're called ages in Myst, but yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, it just looks... like, it looks fantastic.
The water is gorgeous. There's a lot of water because of the islands. The water was gorgeous.
Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I mean, for somebody like me, like, this is just fantastic to walk around in. Like, so often, especially with older video games, like, it would always bug me that, like, you couldn't fully appreciate, like, the environments that you're walking around in. And this version of Myst and Riven, like, they really let you explore. You know, and even like, even if
it rewards you for it too.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if, like, some of the areas, like, there's nothing, you know, that important about it, you know, it's still awesome to be able to look at stuff from a different point of view and see, like, just how everything was, like, looking. I remember one of them was actually with the new one. I didn't realize that I was able to get onto the roof of this one building, like, back in the day. Like, apparently this was part of the solution, but nowadays it's like I was actually able to see properly how everything was constructed. And it was like, oh, I'm actually supposed to be able to go over here. Like, and it was just really cool. Like, it, I would say that these versions actually do make it more accessible. Like, I mean, because you are able to wander around more. But I mean, like, they're still difficult as hell. Like, you know.
Shocking.
Yeah. I was going to say, I really want these games to do well. Because I'd like to see more of the series get this treatment on console.
Oh my god, we need it.
Myst 3 Exiles has one of my favorite video game songs ever.
Yes.
As its intro. It is a fantastic song. It's just absolutely epic. And I want to be able to just boot that up at, you know, I mean, sure, I have an MP3 of it. I've had since before the original game came out. But, I just, you know, it's a whole thing. I want to see more of the series come over. I want to see it do well. I want to see people get to see this series that started a lot of other games down their paths. And I want people to discover Abduction, which is another Cyan Worlds game that is loosely connected to the Myst series, but is a standalone game. I want this to do well because they're great games.
All right. Well, they are $35. What do you think of Riven?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. And I will note one thing that was negative for Riven and only Riven. I experienced during some high motion sequences that there was some crackling audio that I was not experiencing elsewhere with my headphones on. So there were some minor audio issues there that they might want to try and see if they can clean up. And I'd be happy to talk to the team at Cyan Worlds if they would like some more info on that.
So my buddy Maze Dude did a remix of the intro to Myst 3 Exile.
Oh, nice.
I might have to play that at the end of the show.
Yeah, I want to hear that. Yeah, absolutely.
Exile was actually one of the first video game soundtracks I got on CD.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, and so I, like, when you were just like, oh, I love the soundtrack, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I listened to this. I even have it on my iPhone as well.
I was at a LARP in whenever that game came out, Myst 3, like right before the game came out. And my buddy was like, he was like secretly handing out like discs of this MP3, like he had some drugs or something. And I got this MP3 like before the game came out, and I was like, this is great. I didn't even know what the game was at first. And then I saw the game and I was like, I was so excited.
All right. Anything else to say on Mist in Riven? I wish they sold a bundle. I don't think they sell a bundle of the two. No,
that would be a good idea too. Yeah.
That's odd that they don't.
I know at least on Xbox right now, Riven for the next couple of days is $7 off. So you could get it for $27.99.
Do it.
So if you're interested, save a few bucks right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, Bluey's Quest for the Golden Pin, developed by Half Brick Studios, published by PM Studios. Released May 28th, Xbox Play Anywhere, Switch 2, PS5, and PC for $39.99. When Dad snatches the gold pen Bluey needs to finish her drawing, Bluey and her family are swept into a world of fun and adventure. Explore charming hand-drawn worlds, uncover hidden treasures, and solve playful puzzles as you help bring the gold pen home. Jacob, what is going on in Bluey's Quest for the Gold Pen?
So, Bluey's Quest for the Golden Pen is actually based on an episode of the show called Dragon, where the family's sitting around a table and they're all just talking about like what they're drawing, and it ends up turning into this like almost like a D&D campaign for the family. And so this game takes the same idea, except the mom has to run off and take a phone call, and so it's up to Dad, who then decides, I'm going to take the golden pen, and no one else could use it. So the kids have to go on this quest as Bluey and Bingoose, and they have to defeat their dad so they can get the golden pen back and use it for their drawings and stuff. And there are all these different little worlds for you to explore, and it's really cool because this game is definitely aimed at like the kids who they still like Bluey, but they're starting to age out of it. And like the Outright Games Bluey game that came out a couple years ago, like that's way below like their skill level and stuff like that. And so this game takes a bunch of like platforming puzzles, and a lot of not exactly like fetch quests, but you're going to be doing like it's essentially like a big scavenger hunt, and you're going to be collecting like a lot of items, whether it's food for Bingo, like crystals that you're collecting, little bugs that you're helping guide to safety, lawn gnomes that you're finding scattered throughout the world, all sorts of stuff. And some of the NPCs will give you quests and stuff like that to do, but for the most part, a lot of them aren't actually necessary to get stuff done. And so if you're an achievement hunter, like, you know, some people on this show, you know, especially like that guy who managed to be first on True Achievements to have completed this.
Oh, that's yeah. Me, real, by the way, real big to brag dude, it's not out for a week.
You know what?
The only competition you had was second place, me.
No, I had other competition. There was like one other guy who started it before me.
Okay, there were like four people who were on there. But anyway, it's not out yet. So the game.
Whatever. All right, whatever. I'm still first. You're just upset that you're just second. Anyway, so you don't have to do all these quests, but move on to the next world, you have to satisfy the needs of whatever the boss character is, and it's something that the dad's created. Like it might be a bin chicken, it might be it might actually be like a trash can, all sorts of stuff. And like you have to get a certain amount of food items so then Bingoose can lay eggs that will when they hatch, it hatches like whatever the thing is that, you know, that boss desires. And then you move on to the next portion. It's a really chill game. Like I never got frustrated with the game, which I enjoyed. Like it was just like, okay, this is what I have to do. you know, and it was like, it definitely, any puzzles that I was having an issue with, like, it was a skill issue, and it's just like, it was one of those things you just have to practice it over and over again until you get it right. But the gameplay's simple. I wish it, like, my kids were upset that, like, there's no two-player in it. I get it. Like, I get why there's not, because first off, this game was made for...
Don't ruin the story.
No, I'm, okay. I'm not. Right. No, I'm just saying, like, there is no co-op in here, but also keep in mind that this was originally, like, an iPhone and Android game that they brought to consoles. And so, but honestly, for a phone game, like, like, I was plenty impressed with this. But yeah, so there's no co-op, but like, the gameplay is very much like pick up and play, and anybody can play this game. Like, a 3-year-old could play this, a 30-year-old could play this, your grandma can play it, provided that she's alive and has, you know, has her wits, about her. So, you know, like, the whole entire family can take turns on this game. And, you know, mom and dad could also play this after the kids go to bed. But yeah, like, it's a lot of fun. It's a really chill game. I love that they went for, you know, the aesthetic that we saw in the episode Dragon. Like, so if you're a fan of Bluey, this is a definite pickup.
I have a gripe with it.
Okay.
And it's going to be one that you won't like. I think the achievement list is horrible. I wish they would have had a lot more fun with the achievements in this game, aside from beat level. Like, it's not even complete to 100% the level. It's just beat it. Bare minimum, doing bare minimum requirements in this game, you could beat it in 2 hours.
Yeah, but...
I mean, that's like, because that's, it's for kids.
Yeah, but I was going to say, man, like...
And kids love achievements, they should have more than 11 in this game.
I don't know. I mean, I get where you're coming from on it. I know my own kids and, like, how they've been playing this, and it's just, you know, they're not going to beat it in 2.5 hours. Like,
I know. I'm not saying everyone will. I'm just saying that, given the short potential time of the game, I wish they would have put more in the game to encourage playing everything instead of getting a 1K and moving on, which I fear some people will do.
I mean, that... All right. I mean, that is fair. Like, I have been returning to this game.
This is a great game. I want people to explore this game to its fullest, but the game doesn't really give much reason to.
No, but at the same time, like, it also makes it more accessible to ensure that the kids are going or are able to get to the next area. Like, you, like, if you definitely, like, 100% each land, like, you will have way more than enough food for Bingoose to be able to get to the next area. And so it's just, I don't mind that. Like, it still allows kids to get from point A to point B without having to 100% everything, because...
But you're talking about game mechanics. I'm talking specifically achievements being rewarded in the game. Like, I'm not talking about game mechanics and the length of the game and all. I'm talking specifically the boring achievement list that says complete level 1, complete level 2, complete level 3, complete the game. That's boring. That is boring as a gamer to just have that as an achievement list. Like, give me something to collect so many things in one stage. Do a flip, do a 180 on a bike. Throw something from a certain distance and hit somebody. There's so many things you could have done in this game to have fun with it and encourage playing outside the box or playing it more thoroughly than just a boring achievement list. And when that's your only gripe in a game, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
That doesn't change a verdict at all. I'm just saying that's my one gripe with the game, is the achievement list is boring.
Yeah.
Especially for a Bluey game. They should have had fun. Should have had a bunch of fun things to do in this game.
I mean, maybe it, like they had to clear it by somebody at Ludo.
Maybe. So. I don't know. $40 on this one. What do you think?
If you've got kids, then yeah, this is a definite pickup. If you don't, you're going to blow through this game real quick. And so you might want to wait for a sale on that. But it's a solid game. Like, I really enjoyed it. My kids are enjoying it. You know, it's good for the whole family. So if
I remember the second gripe. I wish you could run.
Yeah, but you got enough fast travel spots all over the place that I didn't think it was that big of an issue.
I was so slow.
You're so slow.
I know I am. Next game to talk about, Table Flip Simulator, developed by Yummy Yummy Tummy, published by PM Studios, released May 21st, Series X and S, Switch, PS5, PC, $14.99. This physics-based puzzler turns everyday frustration into cathartic destruction as you throw, smash, and flip tables through levels inspired by modern life. Your adventure begins with a bad day at work when your boss demands you work overtime on your birthday and escalates into a heroic journey to become the president of the most powerful nation on Earth, Antarctica. Bree, what is Table Flip Simulator?
It's kind of what it sounds like and kind of not. Outside of a mini game inside of a mental health simulation horror game, that's a mouthful, called Nevermind, there has not been a good way to digitally flip tables that I'm aware of, at least on Xbox until now. So Table Flip Simulator is a way to let off some steam, smash things, throw things, destroy things, and of course, flip tables. It's a physics puzzler in the vein of things like Just Die Already, with a mission list like Kill It With Fire, and the destruction of games like Cat Lateral Damage, and the sandbox vibe of like Rain on Your Parade. It's got some decent mix of stuff in there.
Influences.
Yeah, I don't know if they're influences, but you know, some things I can point to. You'll need to move things around, throw things around, and generally cause chaos to get jobs done, all while standing behind a table and throwing things. So when you start a new save, you get to make a character. I found several faces, skin color, hairstyles, colors, and outfits to choose from. Purple hair was an option, so obviously I went with that. And you can unlock more customization items later in the game. The story is about a disgruntled person on their birthday. They've had enough with the bullshit at work, at home with a nuisance neighbor, with the hungry cat in the apartment, with the movie. I think actually they had at least half as many cats as you, Joe. They're upset with the movie theater not turning out the lights for the movie, and then they get a job at a shitty supermarket, a coffee shop, and more places as the story progresses. Basically, we get fed up with all of it and just start throwing things for distance until we reach a point in the objectives where you can flip the table to the tune of Beethoven's Ode to Joy. Dun 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 dun. It's great. Character goes through. Oh.
Love it.
Job after job, just not having it. And the story is a lot of fun. Controls are pretty simple. You press right trigger to pick up and throw things, left and right trigger to flip tables. You also have the ability to check a list of objectives on X. And the fist on your throwing arm is on fire when you start, so you throw hot. If you want to chill that down a little, you can hit left trigger to have a more gentle throw, so not to break things. You'll need to vary that to get different objectives in the different levels. You can also zoom in and out with the D-pad to get your aim better. You can press B to gently let things go so you can use them again later. This is important for certain levels. There's an overworld map you can travel to and replay different levels on. There's even a fast travel to help you get around faster with different like bus stops. It's got a lot of levels. And then there's like secret levels too. You earn tables as currency. When you finish a level, you get one table. If you finish side objectives, you get other tables. And so there might be like 8 possible tables you could unlock in a single level. And, you'll unlock bonus levels like one called Public Domain Steamboat. If you can guess what that's about, it's all in black and white. Yeah. There's some good side levels.
Beautiful.
But yeah, it costs 10 tables to unlock the bonus tables or bonus levels. I'm getting my words confused here. And then you also earn rage coins for destroying things during levels. You use those to unlock customization items. Every time you destroy something, it basically has a dollar value to it. When you get to the end of the level, it tallies your destruction like a bill for all the damage you did at your job or wherever you are, and it gives you rage points. Each level has a different set of objectives. So there's secret ones, like I was mentioning, you can discover as you play. Bonus objectives you unlock playing it again. You might need to hit hidden objectives like a photo hidden behind a locker or a certain number of cameras that you destroy. For main objectives, there are things to do that aren't just destruction. You might need to serve coffee by mixing ingredients in a blender or get wood by throwing saws at trees and then make planks and then eventually a cabin to camp in. And then there's boss fights, like your professor at Frown College. In those, you'll have to balance throwing objects at enemies and blocking attacks with the left bumper. Boss fights are actually pretty fun. It was a little confusing at first. This game is kind of all over the place. Like, each level is unique.
Unique.
The graphics are kind of goofy.
And you said like it, so Aki can't get mad.
I know.
No, no, I'm still mad. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but the graphics are kind of goofy. Like a stylized version of the polygonal free models you get in Unity with that low budget titles used to create games sometimes. But this looked actually like it was original art. There are a ton of destructible models of everyday objects like cans and calculators and pizza boxes, toilet paper rolls, just tons of things you can throw. I mentioned earlier Ode to Joy, the other music and sound effects, not so impactful as that. Still, some of the background noises you hear are great, given that you're trying to destroy everything. So there's lots of good noises in there, good sounds. The load screens are kind of long, but they are full of helpful reminders on the screen during the wait. There are fail states for the levels. You can, for instance, knock out all the members of your family while trying to destroy their distractions to get them to the dinner table, which will prevent them from getting to the dinner table, so aim carefully. You have to learn to lob things over other people's heads. I'm just trying to, use these little examples to get some idea of the types of things you'll be doing in this game, because it's kind of hard to explain. I really like finding out the secret objectives in the levels. My cat is rubbing the microphone right now. The achievement list was pretty easy. There's a good amount of content to this game, and it constantly kept you on your toes, not knowing what to expect for a challenge next. It was silly at times, where I had to throw extras onto a film set that I then set on fire. I think there was a lot less table flipping than I would have liked for a game called Table Flip Simulator, but I liked the rage premise overall, and the levels were fairly short if you want them to be, and it's just really good for some destructive fun.
Very good. Sounds fun. It is $15. What are your thoughts on this one?
I think the price is good for the amount of content in this game. I think it was really fun, and I'm going to give it a try it, though, partly based on one especially irritating level called the 2411 Warehouse, where zombies moved too much, and the platform movement made no sense to me, and I could not survive the apocalypse. You have to last for 5 minutes, and I tried and tried and tried and could not. So aside from that one fucking level, delightfully stress-relieving game. That level in particular made me rage, but I will go back and beat it, damn it. And I will complete this game because it was super fun. Just that one level.
Overall, so sounds like two solid games from PM Studios.
Yeah, I would say so. So I'm going to give it a good try. It
sounds good. All right, next up, Warhammer 40K Speed Freaks, developed by Caged Element, published by Wired Productions, released May 21st, Xbox Play Anywhere, and PS5 for $19.99. More speed, more DACA, join the speed and tear through the war-torn tracks, racing solo against bots or with other people online. across multiple game modes, featuring cross-platform cross-play support with PC and other platforms, meaning you can crump your mates wherever they play. Jacob, what is going on in the console release of Speed Freaks?
So, this Warhammer title was really unexpected for me, because when I think Warhammer, usually I think of like a lot of like pew-pew-pew games, or maybe even like a tactical RPG kind of thing. Not a racing game. Did not expect a vehicular combat racing game to be part of the Warhammer license, but, you know, it's 2026. Here we are. And so you are playing as pretty much it's just orcs. And the game starts off with a tutorial that tries to explain the game mechanics just by doing a bunch of boxes of text, and then you're just supposed to go off and do stuff and hopefully get a handle on it while the game figures out whether or not like there's people online for you to play with. So the game does have it, so if you're like understand that this is a multiplayer only game. There is no single player campaign, which is something I would have liked for this. It is, you are just playing multiplayer races over and over again. And if the game can't find people, it's okay, because it'll just fill everything in with bots. And the bots, like, for the tutorial, they're dumbed down, but once you get out of the tutorial, you know, you better have your wits about you with this. There's a bunch of different vehicles that you can get, and of course, they've all got different weapons, so like, usually there's some sort of, like, a distraction thing or, like, a defensive one. Like, there'll be, like, a long-range weapon, and then there'll be some sort of, like, a gun weapon that you could use, too. I know some people compared it to Borderlands 2 in terms of vehicular combat. I don't really see that in it, other than it's just you're riding around a lot of areas of desert with, like, somebody shooting guns off in the back. Like, and the thing is that, like, at least on console, I found it actually difficult to control the, like, the cars, or the different vehicles, I should say. Like, I figured it was going to be set up as something kind of like a Warthog or like the Mako from Mass Effect, and it's not either of those. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, like, I felt like every time I actually killed somebody in this game, it felt like pure frickin' luck for me. Like, the weapons of the cars and stuff like that are cool. The environments are gorgeous to look at. I mean, you're going to be seeing, like, a lot of, like, desert or apocalyptic, like, hellscape kind of stuff. But the game does vary up all of the gameplay with different modes. Like, there's a kind of, like, capture the flag kind of one, like, kind of like a King of the Hill kind of thing. Like, there's that, like, there's obvious real races as well. And it's just, like, the world it creates for it is pretty neat. It's just the gameplay is, like, I don't know. It, like, it just needs, like, some fine tuning. Like, I felt like the driving felt very janky to me. And I never felt like I was getting, like, a full understanding of what I was supposed to be doing with it. And on top of it, the tutorial wasn't exactly the most helpful in it. Now, of course, as I said, this is a multiplayer only game. And I struggled finding online games to play with this. I don't know if the servers weren't on yet, or
we should probably discuss that part. That was an issue when we covered it on PC, that there just wasn't much of a player base. The player base actually jumped up about 40% compared to last month. The problem is last month was 33 players max. This month has been 152.
Okay. Well, I mean,
that's on, like, Steam. That doesn't include console. That's just Steam charts, but that's
okay.
Still a decent indicator of what not player many. Base is on there waiting for people on console.
Yeah. I had issues finding games. Now, I don't know if, like, the Xbox servers were not turned on just yet. The game just kept throwing me in with a bunch of bot ones. But, yeah. I'm hoping that online multiplayer grows for this.
So, too.
Like, it seems like a neat title. Like, I think it needs more polish, and I think it could use more features. Like, as I said, like, some sort of a single-player campaign or a story. Like, I think it would be cool for something like this. But, yeah, like, it's a neat little game. Like, I don't mind it, but I really hope that the player base grows.
Yeah. Well, $20. What do you think?
I'd put it at a try it. Just because it's just like, I don't want this game to be DOA, but yeah. Like, I like with how but many it
might
people
not
are
be
playing,
our decision.
Well, right. Yeah. So that's why I'd put it at a try it.
Yeah. It makes sense. Next up, Schrodinger's Cat Burglar, developed and published by Abandoned Sheep, released May 21st on Steam for $19.99. Portal with cats. I think that says enough, but I'll keep reading. Become entangled in a quantum puzzle adventure. That really does say enough. Mittens gains the incredible power to be in two places at once. Explore twisted test chambers, make mischief, and evade capture by a whisker. Orange cat emoji, purple cat emoji. Bree, what is this?
So, your mittens, a cat on a heist, and your handler is a hedgehog named Lazy Susan. And something has gone horribly wrong. You've fallen into some kind of testing facility, and you've got to find your way out by participating in the experiments. This is a third-person 2D, 3D, or 2.5D environment for you to explore, which is to say that sometimes there's 2D platforming, and then you have to break that plane to progress by moving forward into the space in front of you. Other times you'll have 3D space to explore more fully. Different spaces have different ways of approaching movement. You also don't have full movement at just the press of a button. You're a cat. You can walk with the sticks, but you'll need a combination of buttons to jump sometimes. You can change some of that in the settings, which is like, as a cat, sometimes you can just jump, and other times you need to get down on your haunches and wiggle that butt a little to get an extra height on that jump, or you need to pounce on something, and that takes a little more time than just hitting the jump button. So jumping is kind of tied to locations you can jump to, and then using the appropriate buttons gets you where you want to go to. It gets fluid once you get used to it, but it was a little jarring at first. You can do other things using trigger and bumper buttons, like grab things with your mouth and pull, like levers and door panels. And there are also, you're a tech-savvy cat. You can hack computers, try and get key cards and codes to open doors, and find intel. And this plumbing company is definitely not what it seems. There is a mysterious shadow cat wandering around that seems to be spurring us on. There's mouse bots acting as Wi-Fi boosters for us to pounce on and destroy. There's money to collect. There are strange checkpoint devices and other machines everywhere. I rode on a Roomba for, like, a while as mittens. you can actually, like, get to the trash bin and it'll spit out trash. And then the Roomba will come out of the wall and you can ride on the Roomba up the trash and you can, like, spit oil out and the Roomba will get mad and then it. Yeah, at its core, this is a puzzle game. If you just want to knock things off desks and high shelves and ride a Roomba as a cat, you can do that too. You can also meow and purr at almost any time, and it's wonderful just being a cat doing cat things. But anyway, we get into this machine.
You did a lot of cat things, didn't you? Because I'm looking at your playtime on this.
Well, part of that is also I forgot to turn the game off at some point last night, but I almost fell asleep playing it because I got stuck on a puzzle at some point. So yeah. But anyway, we get into this machine and the shadow cat activates it on us and it's louder than a vacuum and Lazy Susan can't hack it in time. And something amazing happens. We're split in two, sort of. We're able to be in a state of quantum superposition where we are and aren't in two places at once. We can split into two cats and do some tasks like push buttons simultaneously, or we can be smooshed back into our regular singular cat body to do normal cat burglar things. When you're split into two cats, you can control them with separate sticks. You'll need to step on pressure plates, open gates for one another. You can color the split cats differently to your liking to help you understand which is which, and there are colored gates that correspond to help you maneuver the puzzles. To make matters more complicated, you have Heisenberg fields, which prevent you from walking through split into two cats. So you've got to figure out how to reassemble before you get to those through a door. You'll go through a series of puzzle sets designed to test these powers from their subjects, I'd guess. Like, the position of most of the buttons are intended to be human. Like, the perspective of the tests, door sizes and things, like, test subjects were supposed to be human, not a cat. But you're a special cat, and you're going to get this done. Puzzles progress with lessons building on the previous experience, and it does that well. So you go from puzzles focusing on the Heisenberg fields to then, like, 3D printing objects that you need to get through a doorway with fields that won't let objects pass. And then it expands to other concepts. And we basically have to survive all these tests while our hedgehog friend digs up dirt on the plumbing company to find out what's really going on. Because clearly not a plumbing company. We broke into this plumbing company. We're now in the bowels underneath. And
that sounds like false advertising. I would not deal with them.
And you don't have to be an orange cat named Mittens. There are a number of other preset names and colors you can be. There's also cute costumes you can unlock. You can change the look of Mittens or Whiskey or whatever you decided to call your catto. You can even adjust how chonky your cat is. But all that costs money and special shards that you earn inside the game. And I said shards with a D, not with a T.
I heard you properly. I am not joking.
Okay. All right. Obviously, I'm talking about this. This is on Steam. This game has full controller support. Hooray! I can't imagine how I would do this on keyboard and mouse because of controlling both cats at once. Well, okay, I can imagine because I have worked in a TV studio doing live television, and I've had to actually simultaneously press button commands on different keyboards with both hands. But that's beside the point. It supports local co-op. That's insane
that you're able to do that, by the way. I can't imagine having to type on two keyboards at once.
Yeah. It was wild. I actually had to use my foot to change the cameras at some point. that was a crazy environment to work in. This has local co-op and Steam Remote Play together. So if you want to have some extra hands controlling things, you could do that. There's also a good amount of accessibility functions for gameplay. You can show hints. You can skip tapping QuickTime event type stuff. You can hold versus toggle. You can scale text for visibility, change speeds, and more. I thought that was very helpful. Again, there's a built-in hint system if you do get stuck on a puzzle. I didn't find the hints to be as useful as I'd like, but I also didn't find most of the puzzles to be too obtuse. I won't say difficult because some of them were difficult, but they weren't obtuse. You had to think around it. The graphics were great, even on my potato PC. There's a mix of like comic splash page intro, animated sequences besides the main game. There were good light effects and translucent character model effects with sparkling color. The cat animations were adorable. The camera angles sort of locked into certain views, as was most appropriate for the scene or puzzle that you're working on. The music and audio was good. The music was really upbeat, like some techno beats. And the sound effects for the cat and doors and hacking and things were just fun. This is one I'd like to see come to consoles. I think it lends itself better to controller scheme. And I happen to be a little biased towards Xbox, just saying. I like this a lot. It stretched some of the brain muscles in similar ways to things like Portal or the Talos Principle. And the tandem stick movement was something kind of like Brothers. Cute cats and hedgehogs are your main characters, and that's a win for me.
All right. Well, it is 1999. The developer is abandoned sheep. Should we abandon the cats?
No, I think this price seems good for it's a fair amount of puzzles. Puzzles were really engaging. It was a good story, fun characters. I like that you could play with a friend if you had one to do that with. I'm going to give this a buy it.
Very good. I'm going to shake up the format. Cat game number two, Cats and Seek Tokyo, developed by Noobzilla, published by Silesia Games, released May 20th, Xbox Play Anywhere, May 21st, Switch and Switch 2, PS4, PS5, $2.99. Expensive. Can you imagine that? That's like half a gallon of gas.
Oh my
gosh. Pack your bags for yet another cozy and adorable adventure with the Cats and Seek series. This time we're off to the heart of Japan's bustling capital to find cats playing all around the city. Bree, tell us about your time in Tokyo.
Well, it's not another playing hidden cat Forza. Game. I know. It's another hidden cat game, so you know I'm excited. Tokyo is the latest in the Cats and Seek series, and like the previous games, it has come with some changes and improvements. First of all, you'll see hand-drawn art that is super cute in five scenes all over Tokyo, but catified. Beat that, playground. Catified. There's a kitty mart and a cat-themed bus moving about. It's fairly detailed and allows you to zoom in and out. The music is a delightfully upbeat loop that does get a little boring after a while with just how cheerful it is. You're going to hear so many meows as you pet the cats you find. And after you're getting close to the end of a scene, you can also hear the cats if you zoom into the scene a little and use that as a hint to find them. And I need to stop for just a moment to feed my cat a treat because she just caught us a mouse.
Cat time.
There you go. Cat time. Here you go, baby. Thank you. All right. Where was I?
I just want to point out that Jacob is shitposting on Facebook during the reviews, and I'm liking the shitposts during the reviews.
There is a generous hit system that, aside from a few achievements, you aren't penalized for using. It'll even help you find a new item to find in Tokyo, which is stamps. There are 15 to 16 stamps per scene, and you can later use them to decorate your own art in stamp mode. You can make a collage of cat art with stamps. It's super cute. You can like assemble little cat faces and cat bodies with different bits of art and make it all, you know, Japan themed. And yeah, that was a nice new feature. What makes this series different from other hidden cat games? One, you have optional speedrun modes. You can paint the hand-drawn art if you want. That's number two. So if you want something other than black and white, you've got it. I have purple lines, lavender background, and goldenrod-colored cats. Number three, all the cats have names when you find them. It lists the name of the cat, the parent, and has a little description of something cute about the cat, like Girlfield. The cat is a female version of Garfield that also loves lasagna.
Hey, Noobzilla, I just want to point out that Bree has two cats that could go in this game.
I do. And I
parent
should
Lady them. Magritte.
Yeah. And there's a pause 14. Menu. Yeah, there's a pause menu list of all the cats you found by name, so you can go back and read them if you want. It'll even go to the found cat picture in the scene when you click on the list. You click on cats, you can change up your cursor to cute things like a lollipop or a carrot to poke and pet the cats with. I just, like I said in the beginning, I feel like the series gets little improvements each time we get a new one, and I really enjoy this series. Please go find some hidden cats.
All right, let's talk price. This bad boy is $3. I'm going to explain why I wasn't listening to your review, and that's because I already bought the game the moment I saw on the store. What do you think for $3 on this one?
I think this is absolutely a buy it. All the meows, cute art, like, do it.
Yeah. Like, I've been offered codes for these games, and I turned them down so I could buy these games and support Silesia.
Yeah.
For putting them out this cheap, I don't want a freebie. I'll pay you $3 for these. I absolutely And they're even on sale. It's $3 and it's on sale.
I want their freebies. Can I have their freebies?
No, Bree gets them.
Oh.
Who do you think does the reviews? Anyway, cat game number 3, Mel the Pyramid Cat, developed and published by Emberbox Studio. Released May 28th on the Xbox platforms for $5 each. In Mel the Pyramid Cat, you'll guide Mel, a brave feline explorer venturing deep into the ancient pyramids in search of hidden treasures. The danger lurks in every corner, from flying enemies and cursed traps to magical artifacts and the mysterious mummy Theo. Bree, tell us about Mel the Pyramid Cat.
So this is a 2D platformer in a series of Mel the Cat. So far, Mel has had some backyard adventures and adventures in space. Now Mel is a cute explorer outfit with a little backpack, and he's exploring some pyramids. This is a pretty cute pixel art adventure with mummy dog enemies and menacing birds. The controls are pretty simple. You jump with A, dash with B, and you can use the D-pad or the left stick to move around. Dashing can be done at angles and height, so you can jump at an angle to a platform above and to the side of you. In addition to platforming, you'll need to dodge enemies, spikes, flying daggers, and arrows. And the goal of each level is to collect a gem. Along the way, you'll find levels with checkpoints and teleporters and combos of obstacles to deal with around that. The background and enemy art is pretty detailed. You'll see the outside of pyramids and an oasis in the desert. Later levels is going into the pyramid, and the mummy dogs are so damn cute. It's like the same dog enemy that you see in the other two games, but now the dog is a mummy. It's it's adorable. The music was a decent little loop of Egyptian sounding desert music. There are 40 levels to get through, and a combination of completing some of the levels and dying a number of times to different obstacles nets you 2,000 gamer score. And it's a triple stack, if that's something you're into. Some of the platforming challenges...
Did it bring those achievement hunting urges back?
A little bit.
It was nice.
But some of the platforming challenges felt a little recycled from previous games. There were a few times where I felt like the dash didn't work quite like it should. So I had an okay time with this.
$5 each platform. What is your verdict?
If I were judging this against like other games, I could give this a try it. But given the price tag and it being more of an easy achievement game, I would just say fuck it, why not, if you want the gamer score.
That's fair. One platform, which one would you pick?
I mean, I'm always going to go for the Series X version, because that's, you know, my go-to, but
yeah,
you do you.
I'm trying to decide between the Series X version or the Xbox PC, and I can't, so I just won't buy either. Now, if it was Play Anywhere... See, that's makes you think, devs. Might want to look into that. Next thing to do is Mr. Do with Arcade Archives 2, Mr. Do. Developed and published by Hamster, released May 14th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $9.99. Mr. Do is an action game released by Universal in 1982. Take control of a colorful clown as you clear stages by defeating monsters and collecting cherries. In addition to the two widely played versions, this edition includes the rare oldest version, the very first iteration, featuring a unique character design for the protagonist. Jacob, what is going on in Mr. Do?
So Mr. Do is a video game that's similar to Dig Dug. And so in this game, you are Mr. Do, who is this guy. I don't know exactly what he's supposed to be. But you're tunneling through the ground, and you're trying to collect all these cherries. But of course, there's monsters there. The monsters. Yeah, they're not actually that spooky. If anything, they're just damn annoying as to like how quickly they'll go after you. So the thing is that you're supposed to, it's not like, well, yeah, actually it is kind of contingent for one one way to finish a level. But all right. So anyway, your main thing is that you're trying to collect all these cherries. Monsters are trying to stop you. And you have two ways of stopping the monsters. You either have this powerball thing, which you can throw at them. And if it hits the monster, it'll like, it takes a little bit for it to come back to you. But if like you completely whiff, you have to run off and go get it. Which sucks, especially like if you threw it down a bit of a hallway. And the other way is by dropping apples on them. And the easiest way to do this is tunneling, like right directly below a apple. And hopefully you can time it so that there's a monster underneath. If the apple just hits nothing, then it just breaks up and you just wasted an apple. But there are other ways to win, like if you spell out the word extra by defeating certain monsters, if you get a diamond, which I never saw one on any of the levels, but apparently apples will sometimes drop diamonds. But
you know what they give?
I mean, they don't they just give you, like, I mean, they let you go on to the next thing.
It completes
and don't
the level they also, and gives you a bonus gives you an credit.
Extra life.
Yeah.
I thought it gives you, yeah.
Bonus credit, not just the life, a credit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, anywho. So you're just constantly going through all these different levels, try to collect, you know, you're just trying to get to the next one. However you want to get it done, you can get it done. I always kept trying to go after all the cherries. The game is pretty fun and frantic. The monsters do speed up. And it can, I mean, because they do run faster than Mr. Do, not by much, but like just enough. And so you can't outrun them. Like they will catch up with you eventually, which I thought was kind of interesting. And also, it keeps the game really moving. But yeah, it's just like, do you like Dig Dug? Do you like classic arcade? You know, if you've never played Mr. Do before, like, now's your chance. But if you like that kind of gameplay, you should definitely check this one out.
Very cool. It is $10 on this one. I like the fact that it includes, like, the rare...
multiple versions.
Yeah, old version with the snowman.
Is that what he's supposed to be?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what Wikipedia says.
Oh.
So, yeah. Did you know it had three sequels?
I didn't. Like, funny. All right, so here's funny enough.
Their names are great. Mr. Do's Castle. Mr. Do's Wild Ride. Swear to God, Mr. Do's Wild Ride. And Do Run Run.
Do Run 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 to Do Run Run. Run Run.
So yeah, $10 verdict.
I mean, I always support everything that Arcade Archives releases. Like, this is apparently, like, the only time that it's been released. Well, sorry, Ant Stream Arcade also got this a while back. But, like, this is, like, the first time it's been on, like, this console generation. And it really wasn't the previous ones. So, definitely pick it up.
Virtual Console.
Oh. Well, yeah. A lot of things were, to
from be Hamster,
fair.
Too.
But, yeah, I wasn't familiar with Mr. Do, so like this was honestly my first time getting to play it. I don't know, like it wasn't the biggest thing. Like I liked it, like it was all right, but it's not like it's not exactly my jam for arcade types. But still, I'd say for $10, totally pick it up. Cool. Keep supporting Hamster's Mission with this.
Sounds good. And we got one final game to talk about, and you know she's had to be here for some reason. Aki's turn. Thick as Thieves, developed by Other Side Entertainment, published by Megabit Publishing, released May 20th on Steam for $4.99. Thick as Thieves is a stealth action heist game playable solo or with a partner in crime and co-op multiplayer. Master the art of thievery through cunning gameplay across a 4-hour campaign in this dynamic new take on stealth. Aki, you are the stealth queen on this show. What is going on in Thick as Thieves?
Okay, so in
nice,
this,
Jacob.
So in this game, there isn't a great deal of story in this. Instead, it's more you are just
thick.
some. Yep. Some unnamed thief lady, and you're just given missions, and you have to go out and complete them. There aren't a ton of different locations, so you're often sent to the same locations multiple times for various missions. Usually they'll alternate between the different maps until it unlocks a new map, and then it starts alternating between all three of them, four of them, five of them, whatever. It ends up you get a primary thing that you're supposed to do, which actually allows you to move on to the next level. You don't have to actually do that anytime you go and enter that map. But in order to continue this quest line, because I'm not going to call it a story, you do have to actually beat that and get out. But other than that, you also have like little missions that you can do that are just really to give you some XP and some monies. And they're like, oh yeah, you have 35 minutes to collect this much worth of money, and if you don't, you're gonna fail. And if you do collect it, and it's before that time, a door opens up, and regardless of how much time you have left, you have 8 minutes to get the hell out of the level, which is one of the more infuriating parts of the game, because let's say you have a primary main mission to continue the gameplay line, and you also always have this secondary mission, more or less, is I guess what I'll call it. So every level ends up being timed, and throughout the entire level, anytime you see something that's ooh shiny sparkly, I can steal it, you're gonna want to steal it because you're a thief, and that's the point. But once you steal that, whatever the limit is for that time you've gone into the level, now you only have 8 minutes. And if you've done that before you got the main mission stuff, well, you can either try and find it and get to the exit point in 8 minutes, which could mean you fail and you lose everything and have to restart the game, the level all over again. Or you just have to exit without the stuff. Typically, because you're usually not going to find that and get out within 8 minutes. You're just not going to do it. Because throughout the level, you have to find like notes to figure out where the items are that you want to steal in the first place. And that takes time. And you don't see the notes until you're close to them. Because you have the ability, after the tutorial level, where you steal a special item, you get the ability to see stuff like enemy placements, which are both enemies that are walking around that are human, ones that are ghosts, as well as turrets, whether they're activated or not, and you can also figure that out just by looking at them. But it also shows you like treasure and notes through like walls and stuff, but it's not at a really long distance. I think it's like 20-ish meters or something, which is nothing. But you can see them through walls and things, which is a nice little thing to help you around. So you have to find the notes, and not all the notes are useful notes. Some of them are talking about shit that just doesn't really fucking matter. So, yeah, you end up going around the map, knocking people out so you can steal keys off of them and stuff more easily, and so they'll be unconscious for a little while because they will eventually pick themselves back up, and turning off the guns so they aren't trying to shoot you, turning off candles and lights and stuff so the area is dark, and unlike lots of games, if you're in the dark, enemies can literally walk right past you. As long as they don't touch you, they don't know you're there, and it is fantastic. I've really missed that from old stealth games, where, you know, because in some games there's like, well, no, there's values of shadow, and they do have a vision cone that even when they're in the dark, if you're within this distance, I'm like, no. If I'm in the dark, just let them walk past me. As long as they don't touch me, I don't want them to know that I'm there, please. That just makes life so much easier. And yeah, it's really fun. You can spend a long time just replaying individual levels because of the time limit stuff. That originally this game was going to be a PvP VE game where a bunch of thieves were all in there together, basically trying to steal everything before each other can do it. And you can still see some of the bones of that. Whereas, like, even when you're playing solo, when you steal something that's really expensive, it actually tells on the screen that your screen name grabbed that item, which is a whole back from when it used to be a versus game. They did get rid of the versus stuff. It is still multiplayer. You have co-op in it if you want to play co-op. Personally, I don't, because I don't want to play with people who are potentially going to fuck everything up. I don't have that kind of patience. I will sit there for a half hour figuring out the map. I'm not going to sit there for 5 minutes having them fuck things up. It's just not happening. Sadly, there is no way to turn off the timers, which kind of sucks for me, because I would rather just go throughout the whole level and pick up everything and just see where everything is. Because there's chunks of maps that I probably still haven't seen, just because I haven't noticed that there's a pathway over there or something. And because I'm on such a short time period, I don't bother to look around a lot. Instead, I just go pathways that I know are usually good pathways of grabbing a whole bunch of shit, and hopefully are somewhere around wherever my main target is, which kind of hurts the game. The devs actually meant for that to do the opposite, where you would replay and then go a different route to find things, but it's like, no, I found a route that's kind of optimal, so I'm just gonna keep using that route because I have a time limit, and if I'm not out of there quickly enough, I'm just gonna lose everything, and that kind of sucks. I would like to see them make it to where it's an option to turn off the timer if you don't want to play with the timer. Not to get rid of it, because lots of people, they like that challenge. And it is a good challenge. It just, when you have other things you need to do in that level, it screws that up completely. And if you're like me and you're visually impaired, or you're just slower paced at these games, because there are plenty of people who are, it's nice not to necessarily need that. So I'd like to see them at least give the option to turn off the timer. But otherwise, I really like it. You do level up kind of slowly. With your levels, you're able to buy occasionally new gear, new maps, new customization stuff, which is mostly hats and vests, I believe. I feel like there's a third thing, but I don't remember. But after you get far enough through the game and high enough level, you actually unlock a second character as well. A guy named Chameleon, I believe his name was. I am nowhere near close enough to have him unlocked yet, but they play the exact same. They're just, do you want to play as a guy or a girl? That's really it, because they have the same loadout items that they get to use. So, yeah. Any questions?
Is it worth $5?
Oh, 100%. This is a fantastic game.
Cool. Anything else to say?
Nope. That's it.
All right. Then we're done. That is it for this episode. We made it through.
Yay.
That was horrible. Can we see that again?
Yay. Yay.
Sarcastic. Dick. A whole lot of you.
Thieves. Dick.
Dick.
Love that one.
Tangerine balls.
I knew Aki would like that one. Of course she would like that one.
That was fantastic.
Music this episode. We are going to play Exiled Samples by Maze Dude from Myst 3. How's that sound?
Yeah.
And before we wrap up the show, since Ocean Media hooked us up with a copy of Perfect Klondike Solitaire, should we give that away?
Oh, yeah.
One lucky winner in our Twitch audience is going to get themselves a copy of the game. Giveaway draw. The winner is M317. You just won yourself a copy of the game. We will get that to you in just a few moments, but we are going to wrap up this episode. Does anyone have any final words to end it? Oh, wait. We got to thank Ryan. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. It's always good to have you, Ryan, on the show.
I love you.
Although today we didn't discuss how many GameCube controllers we could shove up our asses.
Well, that's because he's already figured out how many you can shove up yours.
The number doesn't really change.
Excuse me, I've been working on it. Thank you very much. I'm in training.
Yeah, how much progress have you made?
I shoved a couple of Wavebirds up there.
You don't have gains, you have gapes. There's a difference.
Bree, end the show with something classy to lead into missed music.
Moi, Calibet. It means meow bitches in Arabic. There you go.
Perfect.